Shirt I put on this morning and smell like a buffalo died in here. What happened? Nasty old thing. Ugh. Well, before 7, dang, I can't stand it myself. I know it's got to be bad. My eyes are watering. 12 before 7 here at DC 101 with the Grease Man. Yeah, we got a second here. 4321101 is the number if you'd like to partake of the action. Hello, you on the air?
Grease Man.
Yeah.
My name is Darrell Exum, and I am what you would call an indigenous populant, and I'm getting sick and tired of you telling these jokes.
Buddy, come on.
I am getting sick and tired of you telling these jokes.
Your name is Darrell what?
Exum.
Exum?
Yes.
Exum. Ugh, like eczema?
We're gonna get you.
Now, wait a minute, Darrell.
You hear me?
Darrell.
We fix your car. We fix your food. It's just a matter of time. We're gonna get you if you don't stop.
Darrell, I don't mean nothing, buddy.
And another thing. Why do I call you the Grease Man? Maybe I should call you the Grease Monkey.
Now, wait a minute, Darrell. Darrell, you're becoming a very bitter man here. Darrell, let's talk like rational human beings, all right?
Okay, we can be rational.
All right, let's...
I know why you...
Come on, don't get your platform shoes in an uproar. Let's talk here.
No, I know why you do it.
Why?
It's your fixation.
For what?
Your fixation.
A fixation with indigenous populace?
Yes, because you know the truth about the hydraulics.
All right, lay off. Do you have to wave that in my face? All my life I've felt threatened by that.
You know that your hydraulics are microscopic. Whereas the magnitude of our hydraulics is just beyond comparison. You know it. And that's why you just keep on talking about it. You're jealous, and you know it. Now, it would be really nice if you would, like, tell a nice story about us. We do a lot of nice things.
Like what?
We do community work.
Community.
There's just so much nice things. We don't talk like that. I don't know where you got that tape, but we don't talk like that. You hear me? I mean, I'm working toward my bachelor's degree, and I have a lot of friends in college.
Yeah.
All indigenous. None of us talk like that.
Well, what part of Indigitown do you live in?
I live in Northwest. I don't live that far from you, where you work.
And you have never in your whole life as an IP ever heard anybody say, Napa Pro, slick gray matter back.
No.
Honky must be messing. Got to be running cold upside his head.
Your smash made that up.
Huh?
Your smash made that up.
Buddy, I know, you know I'm only kidding.
Now, this has to stop. I'm going to be calling you from time to time. And another thing, why do you always say that we're so stupid?
I never said that once in the... You see, you're putting words in my mouth. I never said you were stupid. Never.
Always doing stories.
I'm doing stories. I never said you're stupid.
Oh, but that time you did the story about that we were on fire, and you said that you had to stick us to your Velcro. I mean, don't you just think about that?
I didn't. What's that got to do with being stupid?
No, but you say we jumped off the building onto the fireman's mat, and they kept moving it. And then the last one said, wow, I'm real smart. And when he jumped, they put it on the ground. and then lately, see, I've been studying a lot, and I'm out of school now, so I can call you now. I've been listening to all these stories, and it's been building up. And it's really, really getting tense now. You're in trouble. I just want you to know. You're in trouble.
All right, buddy. Let me do a real nice story, okay?
Okay.
A really nice story right now to make up for all those other ones that you may have had question with, okay?
That's right. Now, you should do that.
All right, I will. Let me see. Give me some nice music here. Let me tell you. This is a true story. Let me tell you about a man, an IP that meant so much in my life. Let me tell you the story of old Mr. Waters. See, I wasn't always a big man, bold man, proud man. There was a time in my life when I was quite spindly, actually. And I remember going to grade school, and they'd choose up sides for the baseball team, and I was always the last one chosen. They'd always say, oh, you mean we get stuck with Nino? Oh, jeez. Yeah, everybody else got to play shortstop and pitch and catch. I was always playing left out. And I'd come home crying with my books, and Mr. Waters, who was the superintendent of the building, say, what's the matter, son? I said, they never let me play ball. Nobody ever wants me on their team. He said, well, can you hit the ball? I said, well, no, I can't, but how am I going to learn if they won't let me play? He said, I'll work with you, son. And there in the back lot of that building, Mr. Waters taught me how to hit a ball.
He taught me how to choke up on the bat and not to close my eyes when I swing, but actually stare at that ball, actually try to see the moment of impact, and then follow through. Don't look right for the ball. Follow through. Concentrate on that swing. Don't just swing with your arms. Swing with your whole body. He taught me the pendulum-like movements. It turned out Mr. Waters, before he was a superintendent and arthritis was getting the best of him, used to play in the old leagues down in Louisiana. I'm sure it was his time off, but he took the time with me. And he taught me how to play that game. And one day when he thought I was ready, he said, "Go ahead, son. Go ahead. Here's $20. I said, "What's this for, Mr. Waters?" He said, "So you can bet him. You can bet him. If you can't hit a home run, that $20 is theirs. That way they'll let you on the team. That way they'll let you at least try."
"Do it for me, son."
I said, "I will, Mr. Waters, I will." And I went to school that day. And I said, "I bet you $20 I can hit a home run." They said, "Ha! Nino hit a home run. We don't want to take your money, boy." I said, "Well, yeah, I don't want to take yours." They said, "Okay, you're up." And they all chipped in. They had $20. And I get up there, and I'll never forget the sensation of the crack as that ball sailed over the fence. And the little girls had started looking at me for the first time as I rounded those bases, doffing my cap. Well, I played the whole game. I had a triple, a double. And they walked me the last time up at bat. And that, I think, was the biggest thrill of all, to have the catcher stand aside, have the pitcher fearfully walk me. I couldn't wait to get home. I ran all the way. But when I got there was an ambulance parked outside. The lights were flashing. "What happened?"
Somebody said, it's Mr. Waters.
I said, "No! Mr. Waters!"
I'll never forget as they carried him into that ambulance. Drove him away. Never knowing what he did for me. Fortunately, I got to repay him a little bit. I remember at the funeral, they didn't want him lying down. I remember his wife saying,
"Morris always stood up as a man, and I ain't gonna have him lying down now yet. Somebody stand up that box." So we all grabbed the casket and tried to stand it. The problem is when we stood it up, he kept slumping down, you know? So I finally solved the problem. I got some Velcro, and I stuck it to the top. Jammed him up against it, and when you know he stood there just fine, but the weight of his body was so huge that it ripped the hair out of his head. She said, "I ain't buried him bald-headed. Whose idea was that Velcro?" They all look at me, they said, "It was the Honkies. Get him, boys!"
Okanda Matuso!
No! No, it was a mistake! I'm sorry! It was a mistake! My God! I took off running! I yelled at my buddy who was waiting in the river, "Please! Start the plane! Hurry up!" And so, with the arrows whizzing around me, I managed to leap onto a pontoon. And I flew away, dipping my wings in honor of a proud and bold man, Mr. Morris Waters. I love you wherever you are. So there you go, Daryl. What'd you think of that story, buddy?
Yeah, take the phone and put it between your eyes for a second, and let me know when it's there.
It's there.
At this weekend's
10 minutes after 7.